Okay, Rabbi Yisai, today's daf is daf Lamed Zayin. We're holding Lamed Zayin at Aleph at the very top, where the Gemara begins, Lechotzin v'loy liyabin. The Gemara is quoting from the Mishnah of yesterday, so let's take a quick look at the Mishnah back on Lamed Vav Amid Beis, where the Mishnah says, Kol shechayoven ola mishum shvus mishum rishus mishum mitzvah, b'shabbos chayoven olav, b'shabbos chayoven olav b'yantiv. What the Mishnah said is there are three different categories of acts, if you will. Some fall into the category of shvus, some into rishus, and some into mitzvah. But where the Chachamim said that you're not allowed to do those acts on Shabbos, they are similarly also to do on Yontif. Now, we explained yesterday, based on Rashi and based on the Gemara, what it means, mishum shvus, mishum rishus, mishum mitzvah. Mishum shvus means that there is absolutely no mitzvah involved in this act, and therefore Chacham made a shvus. Shvus means a gzeirah d'rabbanan, to be shoveis, not to do this act on Shabbos or on Yom Tov. And one of the examples, for instance, was climbing up a tree. There's no mitzvah to climb up trees. If you did it because of a gzeirah shemiyitloish, that's prohibited. The second category was Mishum Rishus. Rashi explained Rishus means that there's a tzas mitzvah. It's not a groisa mitzvah, but a shtikla mitzvah. That's Rishus. What was the case of the Rishus? The Mishnah gave a number of examples, including Loi Mekadshin, Loi Choltsin, Veloi Miyabmin. Don't make a Maisa Kedushin, don't make a Maisa Chalitza, don't do a Yibam on Shabbos or on Yontif. Finally, what is the Mishum Mitzvah, the third category? Loi Makdishin, Loi Marichim, Loi Machrimin, Loi Magbiin, Trumas Amaisa. This is talking about, of course, doing things that would sanctify. You have Chulin and you want to be Makdishit, or you say Erech Ploini Alai, or you're Machrim, and we discussed yesterday that when you say something is Cherim, it's a Machloikis with the Stam Charom L'Kahanim, a Stam Charom L'Berikabayis. Anyway, those involved with Dvar Mitzvah, and those are also prohibited to do on Shabbos. So we went through a number of them already in the Gemara, and now we're continuing on. And the Gemara asks at the top of Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph, why is the Chalitza and the Yibam considered to be in the second category of Rishus? L'chayr, that's a Dvar Mitzvah. Certainly the Yibam is a tremendous mitzvah, because L'hakim l'achiv shem b'Yisrael. You have Nebuch and Almana. She Nebuch lost her husband. And now the brother, if he's Miyabimer, he's doing a Kabbalah mitzvah. We have a Zecher to the previous brother. There'll hopefully be children. It'll be a Grace Zach. Sakti Mora, isn't it a mitzvah? Sakti Mora, Leitricha the Ikka Godel. It's talking about that he's the younger brother. There is an older brother. And Allah is a mitzvah begodel Yabim. The mitzvah is that the eldest brother, he should be the one that's miyabim. So if anybody else of the brothers would be miyabim, then it would not be a mitzvah, it would be a rishus. Because really you're supposed to give the first priority to the older brother. Now the Gemara sounds like, what happens if there is only one brother, or we're talking about the oldest brother, if he were to go and perform the chalitza or the yibam, would he fit into the category of rishus or the category of mitzvah? It would seem that he would be in the category of mitzvah because he is the gadol. Anyway, the Tosfos talks about this fact on Lamed Vav Amid Beis. Tosfos is not only talking about our case, but for instance, the case that we spoke about yesterday, about the Kiddushin, where someone was Mekadosh as the Isha, but he has already Isha Ubanim from before. Or the case of the person who has done a Din Torah, but they were greater Talmid Chacham than him. Does that suggest that if he is the greatest Talmid Chacham in the generation or in the community, that therefore that would be elevated to Dvar Mitzvah and no longer Dvar Hoshus? Anyway, that's the discussion of the bottom Tosfos, and he brings two views, the view that Tosfos attributes to Rashi, and then a separate Rabbeinu Tam. Ayin Shav. But getting back to our Gemara now, what the Gemara tells us is that's the reason why this is slated in the second category, Rishos, because in fact there's an older brother and he has the mitzvah. On to the third line, the Kulu Taimamai Gzeidah Shem Yichlev. Kulu is going back on the Kiddushin, on the Yibam, on the Chalitza? What's the issue with all of these? Why can't you do them on Shabbos? What's the issue of marrying or making a Yibam or Chalitza on Shabbos? Says he, what a Gzeira Mishem Yechtoiv. What's the Shem Yechtoiv? So Rashi says, starting on the first of the narrow lines, that normally when the Bezdin would do one of these things, or Lavdafke Bezdin, when the Rav would be officiating, normally there would be a document. And therefore, says Rashi, Shem Yichtoiv Psaktin Ledinen, if you have a Dayan that Paskin the Shaila in the formal Bezdin setting, not, we're not just talking about an individual who's asking a question, we're talking about a Din Torah, or a Shtar for Eresin, for Kiddushin, or a Shtar Chalitza L'Choyletzes, Uksuba L'Yibama. In all of these cases, it would typically be some documentary evidence, so we're afraid that, for instance, if the Rav is officiating by a Chalitza, then he's going to go and give a receipt, if you will, to the young lady, so that if anybody raises the issue in the future, oi, you have a Zika, you can't get married, so therefore she'll go and take out the receipt showing that she in fact is a chalutza. And the same thing as Yavama, wants to have a ksuba, just like any married woman wants to have a ksuba. So, since it's natural that these acts are followed by a written document, we're afraid the person's going to forget and going to write the document on Shabbos or on Yom Tov. And that's why the Chum said, no, don't do these things. The next thing in the Mishnah is the third category, is the mitzvah. Zok Yimara, fourth line, Ve'elahim Misha Mitzvah, Le'makdishim, Le'marichim, Le'machrimen. What's the issue there? Gzeira Misha Mekach U'Memker. What does that mean, Misha Mekach U'Memker? Says Rashi, Mekach U'Memker always involves assets traveling or transferring from one person to the other. Here too, when a person is makdish marich umachrim, he's also transferring assets. He's transferring assets from chulin to kodesh, to the Beis HaMikdash, for instance. And that being the case, so it's similar to mekach umemker, that the assets are changing ownership. What's the problem with mekach umemker? So Rashi quotes a pasuk in Yeshaya. It says in the pasuk, nimtzei chafzecha v'daber dover, that your chafetzim and your dibur on Shabbos and Yom Tov have to be different than your chafetzim and your dibur of during the week. Or Rashi says another raya is because, another makor is because mekach umemker also might come lidei ksiva, just like when a person is selling a piece of property. Okay, if you're selling apples and oranges, you usually don't write out any documents. You just get the cashier's receipt. However, if you're selling a piece of real estate, for instance, then obviously you do write title documents and you have a ganze closing. So we're afraid that the makdish and harich and machrim and ulza might lead to Shemi Yichtav, he's going to write it down. Yes, Barry, you have a question.
Yeah, earlier in the Sechta we talked about chenedi being open and not different, and giving usher or payroads to regular customers.
Mm-hmm.
There we're not worried about writing down.
Mm-hmm.
What's the difference?
Difference there is because of Simchas Yom Tov. Just like we know that Min HaTorah we have kulis when it comes to food, based on Achashi Yochel Chol Nefesh Hu Levad Yosel Chem. So the Rabbanan, following in the same footsteps of the Torah, anything having to do with food, a person is at home and he realizes, we won't be able to go and make Ein Mitzvibel. Ein Mitzvibel means egg salad with onions. We won't, because we don't have any eggs. So he goes to the storekeeper and says, please give me a dozen eggs. Don't say the word dozen, but please give me eggs, so that, and of course he'll pay him after the yontif. But he needs that for oichel nefesh, and oichel nefesh, that's mutter. But these things,
you bring him 12 pounds to the tzachas beah, but you know, never know.
Okay. But by the way, this is something going around, you may have seen it, and that they wrote Hadran Veya on the eggs in Eretz Yisrael.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, I'm sure. Okay, anyway, so the Gemara says, that's all Gzeirim Shemekach Memkah, you might come either to be Oyver Mem Mitzvei Chafzecha V'Daber Dover, or because you're going to write it down, and that's the same thing as we said before, Shema Yichlev. V'le Magbin Trumas HaMaisris. You can't go and lift Trumas HaMaisris, and this is, Barry, what's the reason why you can't take off Trumas HaMaisris? Good. Is that the Reis of Drabanan? Okay, so Gemara says Pshita. What's so Pshita? Minatari, you're allowed to be Magbiya Trumas and Maestris. Isn't it isn't it proper and appropriate for the Mishnah to go and tell us, oh, by the way, Midrabanan, you're not allowed to. How would I know otherwise that you're not allowed to? What's the Gemara's Pshita? The Gemara's Pshita is a visceral Ishmael. It's not so posh. However, says the, I believe it's the Rosh Yosef, that Kasha Gemara is based on the Mishnah that Yud Beis Amid Beis. If you go back to the Mishnah Yud Beis Amid Beis, the Mishnah is towards the top of the Amud, where the last two, three lines of the Mishnah, Amud Lehem Beis Hillel, Loi Im Amartim Betruma She'enoi Zakoi Baharam Masa, Truma, you're not allowed to be Meirim on Shabbos and Yontif, Toimim Matanoi She'zakoi Baharam Masa, but the Israel Chayam Vakevi, you could be Meirim. If you look at the Rashi, She'enoi Zakoi, Rashi is parallel to the Mishnah, She'enoi Zakoi, Rishoi is not allowed to be Meirim. You can't be mafresh truma semaisus. Ah, says Rosh Yosef, that truth is going on. I don't need the Mishnah on Lamed Vav Amid Beis. I learned that a long time ago on Daf Yud Beis Amid Beis. I know already the Mishnah, this halacha. Why does it have to be repeated? Says the Gemara, I'll tell you why it's repeated. Tony Rav Yosef, ah, what happens if after doing the hafrasha of the trumais you want to take it over to the koyin? And therefore, says Rashi, I might think that the reason why you're doing this is not because you want to be misaking the tevel. I don't even need these peiros today. I could eat them tomorrow or next week. The only reason why I'm being misaking is because my good friend in the shul, Rabbi Yankel Cohen, I understand is experiencing some difficulties, and therefore I want to go and give him food. So he should have food for Shabbos or for Yom Tov. And that's the reason why I'm being mafreshit today. Not because I want to be misaking the tevel. In fact, I'm not even interested in eating from these fruits. I got Baruch Hashem plenty of fruits. I'm doing it for the benefit of the Simchas Yontif of my good friend Yankel Cohen. That being the case, I might think the Chachamim would be Mekel. Kamash Malon the Mishnah, no. Lemaise, if you're being misaking mana, it remains awesome. So Tumar Vahani Mili did. The peri, the tefillin miasma. That's what we're talking about, peris that were already tevel from yesterday. Our peri, the tefillin hoidna, peris that only became tevel today for the first time. Meaning, as we know, anything that you can do, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, machshirei oichel nefesh, you got to do before yontif. So something was tevel from erev yontif, you should have given the trumas and maizes from erev yontif and not from yontif. But what about those peris that only became tevel today? And you're thinking to yourself, how can peiros become tevel today? I can't do a gemar melacha on the fruits and vegetables today. So the market going isa la frusha min achala. As we know, you're allowed to go and bake on yontif. When does the chiyuv of challah, when and how does it get triggered? Only when I start kneading the dough. At that point, don't forget to give challah. But I couldn't give it yesterday because I'm only kneading the dough today. So something will pay to be the idna like challah mifrashin, and then that you can go and be mafish. In fact, if you go back to the Mishnah Daf Yud Beis, that's what the Mishnah was talking about on the Yud Beis. You are allowed to be mafish challah on yontif because you could not have done that the day before on today's dough. On yesterday's dough you could have, but on today's dough you can only be mafish it today. And the avin lekoyin, you're allowed to give it to the koyin as well, like we learned in the Mishnah on Yud Beis with Beis. Now that we've gone through the entire list of the shvus items, the rishus items, and the mitzvah items, why did the Mishnah divide them up into three different categories? After all, the first category of shvus means that the chachamim imposed an isur midrabanan on these activities. That being the case, the Gemara is wondering, isn't that shvus also appropriate to the middle cases of the rishus and the final cases of the mitzvah? In each case, the chacham said, "Be shoveis, don't do this act or activity because it's a drabanan." So, therefore, the term shvus l'chayra applies to everything, all the items, all the activities which are enumerated in the Mishnah. The middle category of the rishus, for instance, leidonin, veloi, mekadshin, all of those, we say mishum rishus. Aren't they also mishum shvus? The third category, mishum mitzvah, What are the third category? The machrimin and the matishin, marichin. So that's mishemitzvah. Fani mishemitzvah, ikka mishem shvus leka. There's also a shvus. In other words, the term shvus, by definition, means anything that the chacham imposed an isur midrabanan not to do that act on Shabbos or on Yom Tov. So they're all shvusim, not just the first category. Says Yimar, of course you're right. Amrim Yitzchak Lim Beboya Kamer. What the Mishnah is telling us is loy meboya shvus greatest of the aser, not only in a case where the activity in which you wish to engage is just shvus greatest, meaning that there is no tzad of a mitzvah at all, like for instance climbing up a tree. It may be an enjoyable activity, but there is no mitzvah involved, and therefore you might think that that's the only type of activity that the Chachamim asered. No, no, not only Shavuos Gredesah. El afilu Shavuos Dereshus Nami Aser. Even certain things which are Divine Mitzvah, not total Divine Mitzvah, but not Tzas Mitzvah, Abisala Mitzvah, Donin, Mekadshin, Miyabmin, Cholzin, all of those various items, even those where there is a shtikala mitzvah, the Chacham also imposed a shvus. El afilu shvus rishus nami aser. V'lo miboy yishvus dirishus the aser, which is only a shtikal mitzvah. El afilu shvus the mitzvah nami, even if there's a full fledged 100% mitzvah, even there too, the Chacham imposed a shvus, and they said that it's asur. So we're going in stages. We start off with no Dvar mitzvah relationship whatsoever, then Ashtikala mitzvah, and finally 100% mitzvah. In all of these cases, the Chacham decided to impose their gzera. Right, says the Mishnah, Kol Eila Biyom Tev Amru. Okay, so now let's look back at the Mishnah, the final words of the Mishnah. Kol Eila Biyom Tev Amru, and the Mishnah ends off the Ein Bein Yom Tev Shabbos. Okay, go back two lines. Kol Eila Biyom Tev Amru Kal V'Chaymer B'Shabbos Ein Bein Yom Tev L'Shabbos Ala Oichel Nefesh B'Lad. The real focus of the Gemara is not on the Kol Eilu, but it's on the Ein Bein Yom Tev L'Shabbos Ala Oichel Nefesh B'Lad. So the only difference between Shabbos and Yom Tev, Oichel Nefesh, that's it. Now when we say Oichel Nefesh, we mean preparation of Oichel Nefesh. And therefore, Frey Dimar, or Amin Alaskio Kasha, from the beginning of the Mishnah, the beginning of the Perek. What did it say at the beginning of Perek? And the name of our Perek, of course, is Meshilin. And it says in the Mishnah, Meshilin Derech Aruba. You're allowed to go and lower down through the Aruba, the Peiros on Yom Tov, Avaloi B'Shabbos. Now, although Peiros, of course, are Oichel Nefesh, but we're not talking about the preparation of Oichel Nefesh. The Ikavart by Peiros is that this person is having a Hefsin Mamayin, that it's going to start raining, and the rain is going to spoil all of these sun-drying fruit, and I'm going to have a hefsid. And because of that, the Chum said, because of the hefsid, and we're not dealing with huge amounts of tircha, we're just opening up the skylight, dropping all the payers down, that's permissible. But it's only permissible on Yom Tov and not on Shabbos. Didn't you just say that Ein Bein Yom Tov L'Shabbos Al Oichel Nefesh B'Lvod, the preparation of Oichel Nefesh? And even if you're going to go and tell me, well, Peiros is also Oichel Nefesh. Remember the Gemara said, according to Ula yesterday, afilu avira delivni. Even if you're talking about bricks, bricks don't involve Oichel Nefesh, it only involves Hefsin Mamon. So Frank the Gemara, how did you just finish off the Mishnah by saying Yom Tov and Shabbos are indistinguishable, they're exactly the same, except for Oichel Nefesh, there's a major difference. For instance, the earlier Mishnah of Meishilin, which doesn't involve preparation of Oichel Nefesh, but nevertheless the Chacham said it's Mutar on Yom Tov, but it's Aser on Shabbos. Omer V'Yosef Lekasha, Harablaiz HaRavishu. In fact, it's a Machloikis. So there's a Machloikis between the first Mishnah and the second Mishnah in our Perek. First Mishnah goes according to one man the Yama, the second according to the other man the Yama. Who's Reb Lezer and Reb Yishua? The son you learned in the Bryce. You have a mommy animal and its baby that both fell into a bar. And one thing is certain. You're not let it go and shecht both of them. But you want to save both of them because the understanding is that if these animals are going to stay in the bar for an extended period of time, they will eventually expire. And the person will have, therefore, a hefsid mamayin. Oh, so what does it say about this potential hefsed mamon. Reb Leizer oimer malas arishon amanasli shoychtoi v'shoychtoi. Vasheni oisal leparnasu b'mkoymei kadesh lo yomus. Reb Leizer says very simple. Go and choose which one of the two animals you want to go and shecht, either the mummy or the baby. And after you decide that you can be malid, you can go and pull it out of the bar, because you're doing a malacha for oichal nefesh. You couldn't have done this yesterday, because it only fell into the bar today. So you're allowed to go and extricate the one of the two, and then go and shecht it. And the second one, send down care packages throughout the day. You see that that behemoth down below is hungry, and it cannot go and graze in the pasture because it's in the, it's down in this bar. So send oisle parnasim and koyim, I send down food for so that the animal can exist and survive until the end of Shabbos or Yom Tov, and then pull the, here we're talking about Yom Tov because we're talking about shechting, and then pull the animal out. Rabbi Shua Omer, malas rishlo masa shoichtoi ve'eina shoichtoi. What Rabbi Shua says is a person can go and save both animals using a haram. What's the haram over here? He first decides, oh, I see the mommy animal, that looks like it's nice and plump and good and gishmak and fine, I'm going to take that to go and shecht. Then he goes and pulls it out, and then he realizes, you know, I only saw it from one side. If I would have seen it from the other side, eh, this animal looks like it's scrawny, it doesn't look like it's so appetizing, eh, bah, bah. Let me go and take out the other animal. He takes out the other animal and says, oh, I was sure that this animal is really going to be the Kavod Yom Tov. And you know what? The first animal was taken better after all. My original understanding was the better understanding. I should have stayed with my original decision. So therefore, says Rabbi Shua, since it's Yom Tov, and the purpose, you want to have the best food for Yom Tov, so you can make this haroma, and Rotzeh Zeh Shoichet can check either one. What do I come at from this? What I see from that braisa is that according to Reb Lezer, we don't allow for the haroma. There's a danger that that second animal may not survive. And when it comes to Hefsed Mammon, says Reb Lezer, I'm very sorry, I gotta be tough. Even though it's a Hefsed Mammon, potential Hefsed Mammon, I gotta stick to my guts. But Rabbi Shua said, no, because of Hefsed Mammon, we will allow for this leniency, al yidei haram. Okay, this is talking about on Yom Tov. On Shabbos, we wouldn't allow for the animals to be extricated from the bar, because you can't shech the animals on Shabbos. Ah, so we see that according to Reb Lezer, there's no difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov, except for the first animal. First animal, of course, you can extricate, because that's Malachas Oichal Nefesh. Ein lecha ben Yom Tov v'Shabbos, Oichal Nefesh b'Vod. So that's certainly permissible. It's the second animal. So we see Reb Lezer is not worried about Hefsed Mammon, and therefore he would hold like our Mishnah that we just learned, that Ein ben Yom Tov v'Shabbos, Oichal Nefesh b'Vod. Rabbi Shua, however, was concerned about Hefsed Mammon, and therefore allows for Harama, he would hold Meshilas Lepeirois on Yom Tov. So Chayes are very good terrors. Only a bite. No, not to Jigotetz. Me my. You know why Reb Lezer says, don't schlep out the second animal from the bar? Because I have a backup plan. My backup plan is that I can go and send down care packages so that the animal will be able to survive. Maybe the care package would not only be food, maybe I'd also send down a pillow so the animal can go and lean on a pillow or something. In other words, there are aids to try to keep this animal comfortable even down in the bar without extricating it. And therefore, says Reb Lezer, don't extricate, leave the animal in the bar. Here when we're talking about the Meshilas HaPeiros, what can I do to keep the peiros surviving other than removing them from the rain? You know, if I had a tarp and I can cover them, that's great. But if I don't have a tarp, then you open up the aruba, the skylight, and you drop them all down. There is no other eitzah. This concern that even Reb Lezer would agree, yes, fine. Then in that case you could go. That would be the parnasa for the peiros. Meshilas HaPeiros Derech Aruba. Or inami ad kamikom Reb Shua hasam al yefshel arume. You know why Reb Shua said you can go and take out both animals? Because you can make this aroma and say, I'm not so sure that this animal is the right one for shechting. Let me try the second one. The second one doesn't look so good. We'll go back to the first one. So therefore, you can make that type of aroma. Aval hechad yefshel aroma loy. Here, there is no aroma involved. So inachanami. Maybe you could not be meishilin esar peiros. So therefore, you don't have a concrete raya one way or the other. as to what Reb Elezer or Reb Yeshua would hold in the Meshilin Esaperois scenario. And therefore, right, we go back to the original Kasha. Sounds like I got a steer. First Mishnah in the Perek says, Meshilin, you're allowed to save the Peiros for Hefsin Mamin on Yom Tov, but not on Shabbos. And then the final Mishnah that we just learned, not the final Mishnah, but the second Mishnah we learned, says at the end, oh, Ein ben Yom Tov Shabbos, lo'echel nefesh b'vod. There's no distinction. Therefore, Elamar Papa Loikash, I have a new text. Ha Beisham Yom Beisil, oh, that's the famous Beisham Yom Beisil of the Halacha of Mitoich. That on Yom Tov you're not allowed to carry except for food, but you cannot go and carry a lulav, a sefer Torah, mitakotin. Even though these are all important purposes, nevertheless, food. Ein lecha, there's no difference. Ein ben Yom Tov Shabbos al oichel nefesh b'vod. These three items are not foods. Beisil matir, beisil is matir. Ah. So therefore, Beisil could be the Meshilin Esaperis Derech Aruba, and Beishami would be Ein Ben Yom Tov Shabbos and Loichel Nefesh Bovot. Says Yimor No Dumaloi. Ah, Kavikam Beishami Hosam Elad Aitzor. When did Beishami say his rule Legabe carrying? Beishami said, carrying is an Issa Deraisa. If you carry on Shabbos, it's an Issa Deraisa. On Yom Tov holds Beishami, it's also Osir Min HaTorah. Unless you're carrying food. But if it has nothing to do with food, you're not allowed to carry on Yom Tov according to Beis Shammai. Same way you make your Eruvi Chatzedus for Shabbos, you gotta make your Eruvi Chatzedus for Yom Tov. You cannot carry your Talis to Shul. You cannot carry your Machzer. It's awesome in our Torah. So that's where Beis Shammai was Machmer. About Tiltul, Loi. Maybe Tiltul doesn't go into the same category, because Tiltul, after all, is Dirabana. And therefore, maybe Beis Shammai would say, oh, that's okay. There's no problem with Muktzah, and therefore, that's why you could be Meshilin Derech Aruba, even though these Peirois are Muktzah Peirois, because I'm leaving them out to dry in the sun. Normally it's Muktzah. The Chum relented and said, well, I'll Tzhefsin Mamayin, I'm going to allow you to go and save the Peirois. So maybe there's a distinction between the case of Hoitzah and the case of Tiltul. Avni Mara, or to Tiltul Av Terech Hoitzahu. Isn't the whole Isra Muktzah all because of Haitzah? So we've had this Gemara already before. In fact, when we learned that Mishnah, the Gemara said at the time, if you remember, Brother Shai brought it up a couple of days ago in the Gemara, and that is that the Chachamim, the reason why the Chachamim said you're not allowed to metaltel various items, because I'm afraid once you're holding in your hand, you might open the door to your house or apartment and take it outside and carry it in the Rishus Rab. Ah, therefore, they said, don't even touch the item, don't move the item. I don't have to worry then that he's going to go and get carried away, and that he's going to therefore carry it away. Rashi asks, if that's the case, then everything should be Muktzah. Forks and knives and food and crockery and cutlery and chairs and tables, everything should be muktzah, because you might go and take it out of your house and carry it away. Says Rashi, in Svara you're right. However, it would be a gzeira shlo yuchlu lamoid behen, because after all, people have to be able to eat on Shabbos and on Yom Tov. If you're going to tell me that you're not allowed to carry, you're not allowed to be metaltel anything, then you won't be able to eat. So therefore, that's the reason why we have to distinguish between various items which are muktzah, like muktzah machmas isur, muktzah machmas chasar and kis, muktzah machmas mius, but regular normal kelim or normal food items, there is no din of isur muktzah, because otherwise we wouldn't be able to exist. Somebody has the, please put your phones on mute. Someone has an open line and we hear the background noise. Okay, getting back to next Mishnah. Look to Mishnah. Now we're going into Hilchos Tchumen. And as you remember, Rabbi reminded us the other day that Tchumen is Midrabanan, and Barry reminded us that according to Rabbi Akiva, Tchumen is the Dereis. So we're talking about now Midrabanan. And what does the Mishnah say? A behema v'hakelim kiraglia balim. Balim means the owner, and the owner has his tchum. What is the owner's tchum? Normally, like everybody else in town, 2,000 amis from every from his home, or if he lives in a town or a city, 2,000 amas from the outskirts of that town or city, in all directions. If the person wants to make an Erev and go Tzofay, fine, and he adds an Erev, he can now go up to another 2,000 amas to the Tzofen side, and now he cannot go at all to the Dorim side, because now he's taken his 2,000 amas that he has in all directions, and he has allocated them to one of the directions, and now he cannot go in the other direction at all. Zero. Okay. So now, it's not just the individual. It's the individual and anything and everything that he owns. If he owns a behemoth, if he owns Kalim, they can also only go within his tchum. They cannot go more than, or in a different area. So for instance, the case of the year before, that the person make an Erev Litzfoinai, so he can walk 4,000 amis in the Tzofen side of his house or the city. Same thing as Behemoth Kalim can only go 4,000 amis in that direction. They cannot go even one amma in the Dorim direction, because they are subject to his Tchum limitations. So says the Mishnah, HaBehemoth Kalim Karagli Abalim. What happens if you're Moiser Behemoth Lebnoi Oyle Roya? You handed over your Behemoth to your son or to your shepherd. HaRehemoth Karagli Abalim. They still stay based on the Ragli Abalim, not the Benoi Oroya. So the Benoi Oroya, you're going to have to ask, tell me, sir, which direction do you have the benefit of your Tchum? And I'm only going to take the animal in that direction or in all directions, you know, based on what your Tchum is. Now, what happens if you have Kelim am Yuchadim li'echem and ha'achim, shebabayis, ha'eru keragav, she'em Yuchadim ha're'elu kemokim shaholchim. What does that mean? We're talking about that, unfortunately, a person passed away, and he left over a number of children, and he left over an estate. And the estate has not been fully divided yet. It's the interim period with it making arrangements between the brothers. Hopefully, these are amicable arrangements, and they're allowing for allocation of assets between the brothers. So it says, so what happens if there's a particular item that one of the brothers has set his eyes on, and at least on a temporary basis, the brothers are in agreement, yes, that brother is going to get that particular item. So since he is using that item on his own, then we deem him to be the Balim, because all the brothers have agreed that he's going to go and get this item. Oh, so that's pretty straightforward. But what about those items that have not been allocated yet, but rather are being used, you know, by all the brothers? One day one person uses it, another day another person uses it. So the question is, what happens to those items? Then they are deemed to be like the ragli kol habalim, in other words, kol ha'achim. So now, if this is a chumra, not a kula, meaning that what happens if one of the brothers has made an erev towards the tzofin side, and all of the brothers, all the other brothers have not, then all of them can go and carry this item in the same, forget, he, the five brothers, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar, Reuven made an Erev towards the northern side. Since the northern side, he made a full Erev, 4,000 amas. So he could go and carry it, those 4,000 amas. However, all the other brothers did not make an Erev at all. So therefore, they can go and do 2,000 amas in all directions. Okay, so now what happens now? Everybody can go and carry this item 2,000 amas towards Tzofin. But they cannot carry it, the additional 2,000 amas, because they didn't make an Erev. And on the other hand, in Dorim's side, none of them can go and carry it in Dorim's side. Why not? Because Reuven, who made his Erev, doesn't have on the Dorim side anything. So they're also stuck with Reuven's decision that they cannot go to the Dorim. Reuven is stuck with their decision. Since they didn't make an Erev at all, he can only go until 2,000 amas in the Tzofen. He cannot go 4,000 amas. Everything else he can take 4,000 amas, but not this item, because since it belongs to all of them together, you have to reckon with all of their limitations regarding Tchum. What happens if a person borrowed a kli already from Erev Yontif, and the owner said, yeah, you can have it over Yontif, no problem, then Karagli Ashoyu, because since he, Karagli because since he gave it to him already in Erev Yontif, on the understanding the person is going to hold on to it for a day or two, so it belongs to him temporarily, and he has the tchum of the of his own tchum. However, Yontif, if the person lent it to him on Yontif itself, then Karaglia Masho. Since at the time of Bein HaShemoshes on Erev Yontif, it belonged to the Mashal and not to the Shoel, then you have to go based on the Mashal's tchum and not on the Shoel's tchum. V'chein ish shirol mechaverta tavlin umayim umelach liisasa. Really, I should put a comma there. V'chein ish shirol mechaverta tavlin umayim umelach liisasa. You have Sprinza is both cooking and baking. So for the cooking, she needs some tavlin. She needs some extra spice. She's making her chulent, and you have to go and add a little bit of garlic powder and paprika and twice onion powder. So she borrowed that from her chavita. Or she's making an isa, she's baking a challah, she's baking a cake, and she borrowed mayim melach. So now, in this chulent and in this isa, some of the ingredients belong to Sprinza, but some of them belong to her next door neighbor, to Gnendel. And therefore, both Gnendel and Sprinza are now, if you will, shutfim in the chulent and in the isa. So once again, we have the limitations of both of them, and therefore we have to go and see where the tchum is of Gnendel and of Sprinza to be able to figure out how far or to in which direction will you be able to go and carry the finished product, the chulent and the cake or the chal. Rabbi Yehuda points to my mayim. Rabbi Yehuda discounts the mayim. He says we had in our Mishnah mayim umelech lisasa. He says you can forget about the mayim. Neisha ein behen mamish. When you bake a challah or you bake bread, make a cake, everybody knows you need water. However, in the finished product, you don't see the water. When you take a piece of the cake and you bite into it, where's the water? No water. The water has gone away, if you will. It's been absorbed totally into the product. Since it's ein ben mamish, says Rabbi Yehuda, that doesn't count for inyone tchumin. So therefore, if one supplied the water, we don't worry about that person's tchum.
But why is it that the women and the brothers, the women borrowing from her neighbor, and the brothers, aren't they more like the Shoel? If a person's making a cake, they're being shot in, they're making machinery in it, they're acquiring it. Why does it retain its tchum status from Erev Yontif?
The Shoel is getting.
If the brothers are sharing the estate until it's finally divided. It is shared from Erev Yontif. Why does it retain its status as joint property on Yontif? If one brother is always using this item when he goes every day until they divide the estate, then let him have it. He's like Shoel Erev Yontif.
You're talking about that's the case, in fact, of the Kalem Yuchadim, the Echon Menachem. That if there's one of the brothers that is using this item solely, even though there's no final division of the estate has taken place, then in Hanami we go after his tchum.
Okay.
We're talking about, let's give an example, a kos for Kiddush. So all the brothers, do a rotation. And in fact, on the same Shabbos, same Yom Tov, you can have multiple brothers all using the same kos. First one makes Kiddush, then they drink up the wine, they wash it out, second one makes Kiddush, and so on and so forth. So since all of the brothers have equal access, equal rights vis-a-vis the kos, so then you have to go and reckon with all of their tchumen limitations. And the same thing now applies to the cake and to the cholent, that since it has multiple ingredients from both Sprinza and from Gnendel, there are multiple shirts.
In the case of the cake, the chaverit gave it to Sprinza so she can make a cake and eat it. Chaverit isn't saying, and by the way, I want a slice of the cake. The cake is part of mine. She's mochel, the tavlin and the melach, as well as the mayim, the Sprinza, so Sprinza can bake, and she can eat it and serve people. Why doesn't it become hers?
Understood. When is the triggering moment where we decide whose tchum this asset we have to follow? It's always Bein HaShemoshes. Bein HaShemoshes, who owned the tavlin and who owned the mayim and melach? The chaverta. So therefore it's the chaverta's tchum that will travel with it for the rest of Shabbos or for the rest of Yom Tov.
Okay.
And therefore when she bakes it the next day, the first lady borrowed those items, since he borrowed it on Yontif itself, then appended to these items are the tchum of the chaverta, and so therefore she stuck with that person's tchum.
Yeah, but it doesn't mention dough, it doesn't mention flour, and the mayim, milach, and pavlin are poto in the new cake. Why don't we say that these items are mevato, are poto inside the cake, and therefore the tchum separates?
That's a very good point, and what you're really doing is you're enunciating Rabbi Yehuda's point. The Buddha saying is that the mayim becomes bottle, it becomes so absorbed in the cake and the final product, I don't see any mayim. So then you're going to follow up and say, well, I don't see any melach either. And Rashi...
You can taste the top of the melach. I understand why it distinguishes it, because the melach and the pavlin are the end in the sense of taste.
And it goes even beyond that. If you look in the Rashi, the last two lines, look at the end of the second line before the end. Ubemelech loy palik, he doesn't argue on the salt. The makmina love the gemara bemelech astrochnis she gasa v'nikeres. Even now when you it's coarse salt like the kosher salt, and even though you put it into the cholent or you put it into the cake, or most people wouldn't put salt into cake. But anyway, but it's something that not only you feel the flavor, but you actually yesh b'mamish that you can even touch it. Oh, here's the salt, the astrochnis salt. And presumably the same thing applies to the Tafel. We'll mention, see further the Gemara. Zok Gemara, Masnisin, we start off the Mishnah. What was the first case in the Mishnah? That if a person owns a behemoth and he leaves it with his roya, the roya has to go based on the tchum of the balim. So Gemara, Masnisin, the loy kereb doisa. Why not? The sign of doisa oimer. The amir la abishol oimer. Halakiach beimah mechaveira me erev yontif. A person who borrows the behemoth from his chaver erev yontif. Alva bishloi masolei el biyav. Even though he handed it over on yontif. In other words, he came to him on Friday and said, or actually not Friday, but erev yontif. He said, could I go and borrow your animal? Now the purpose of borrowing the animal is presumably, it could be for shechting purposes, or it could be, since we're talking about a roya, to take it out to the pasture. But he already made the deal, if you will, on Erev Yontif. The person already agreed, even though the handover only took place on Yontif. Hari karagli alakeach. Since they made this deal in advance, it's the tchum, which is triggered by Ben Ishmashis, it's no longer, physically, it's in the hands of the owner, but contractually, if you will, since he allowed him to go and borrow it, it's in the hands of the lekech. Lekech is not only a lekech, could mean a sale, and it could also mean they borrowed. But let's talk about the second case. The most important case here is the hamoyser behemel roya av bishlei masol el biyontif. Oh, that's our case of our Mishnah. A person handed over the reins of his animal to the roya, even though he only gave it to manyantiv hari karagli a roya. It's like the ragli haroya? Didn't we say in the Mishnah that if you give it your animal to the roya, it's keragli habalin? And here the Braisa says it's keragli haroya. So you're going to go and tell me, yeah, but the Mishnah is talking about that he gave it to him on Erev Yontif. Here it's also talking about him, moisa behem l'roya, av bishlei masolei, the actual physical transfer took place on Yontif, but they'd already agreed to it from before, right? Like the beginning of this Braisa of Reb Doisa. Halakiach behem mechaveir me'erev yontif, even though it was only masaloi beyontif. Here is moise behem leroya, they agreed already in advance. Even though he only handed over on yontif, it's karagli roya. Our Mishnah says karagli balim. What's going on? Ever the Gemara filetem Reb Doisa. Now the Mishnah could go according to Reb Doisa as well. Velekasha, kam b'roya echad, kam b'shnei royim. Is there only one roya in town, and he has a monopoly? Or are there multiple royim? If there's only one roya in town, even though he only handed over the behemoth to the roya on Yontif, it was either explicit or implicit from Erev Yontif, this is going to be the roya's animal on Yontif. So therefore, whose Bein HaShmoshes is Tchum will be Koina, not the owner, but the roya, because it's intended that this is going to be given to the roya. However, if there's Shnei Royim, and he doesn't go to a favorite roya, he goes to the roya who he wants at that particular day, for whatever reason, he plays one roya against the other roya, whatever it happens to be. But bottom line is, if you have multiple royim, it's not a certain thing that he's going to give the roya the animal on Yontif. He might decide to give it eventually to the other roya. Therefore, says the Gemara, that's why the Mishnah said, Karagli Abalim. In fact, the Gemara says, "Dekanami diktana, bring your raya from the Mishnah." Libnoi oyle raya. Shema mina. What means libnoi oyle raya? A person has a son, and a person has a raya. Who is he going to give the animal to? I don't know. We'll see in the Etchim Yomtiv morning. Maybe he'll give it to his son to take care of. Maybe he'll give it to the Roya to take care of. Since we don't know, that's why it's Keragle HaBalim. Because the Balim is only going to make his decision on Yomtiv morning. However, if there's only one Roya, and there are no sons, and there are no other alternatives or options, and yes, they have a deal to go and give his animal to the Roya, then it's a certain thing he's going to give it to the Roya, and you go, therefore, Keragle HaRoya. So, two different cases, but the Mishnah go according to Reb Doisa. How's the halacha? Rabbi B'chon, Rabbi Yochanan, halacha ki Reb Doisa. What's halacha ki Reb Doisa? That, like Reb Doisa said at the top, that if you hand it over to the Roya, even on Yom Tov, it's keragli ha Roya. Frank, you want me on Reb Yochanan hachi? I'm sorry? Chodesh
Tov.
Chodesh Tov to you too. Thank you for joining us. Zogim Arbait, we know that Rabbi Yochanan holds that we paskin like a Stam Mishnah. And what does it say in our Stam Mishnah? Utnan, Abahim of Akelim, Kiragli Habalim. No. Rabbi Doisa says that it's Kiragli Haroya. So Timora, have you been asleep for the last 2 minutes? Valavo Kimna, didn't we give the Teretz Kamaroya Echad, Kamishnah Iroyan? Then it depends. Our Mishnah is talking about that there is multiple royim on the horizon, or at least a benoi oyroya, since there are multiple options. Friday night he had not decided yet, so the owner's tchum is the one that is triggered and the one that applies. In the case of Reb Doisa, he's talking about there's only one roya in town, and he always gives it to that roya. So even though he didn't transfer the reins until Yom Tov morning, makes no difference. He's giving it to the roya, it goes kiragli ha roya. Didn't we just say that before? Muzach Zayin, that these Mandi Yomrim, this last tickle, Amar Rabbi B'chana, had not learned in that Besmedesh, he had not learned the Sugya, and therefore, that's why the Gemara asks on its own, Ay, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. So there seems to be an inconsistency between the two Gemaras, because the Gemara said, didn't we just answer, Kan Baraya Echad, Kan Bishnei Raya? So Muzman Zogin, that the mandiyomrim of this last tikkun maimer, when they asked the kasha, they were not familiar with the shak levitaria of the gemara on top, and therefore they were not aware of the fact that we gave this, we asked already the kasha, we already gave the teretz, but now that we've gone through that, you're right, this is roya echad, and this is shnei royim, and the mishnah can go in accordance with Reb Doisa after all. Tanurban. Shnayim yishalu choluk echad b'shutfus. Say leivach b'shachras the b'smedir v'zeh likonis boy arvus the base of mishnah. This shows you nevach the poverty of people, that you have two individuals. Each one of them did not have a choluk, or a shirt, or a suit, or whatever, and each one needed it on yontif for a particular purpose, or for Shabbos for a particular purpose. Since they didn't have, they went over to a very generous individual in town, Mr. Yankel Smith. Mr. Yankel Smith, everybody knows, he will literally take the shirt off his back for other individuals. And one of them needed the shirt for Shabbos morning, to be able to go to Bais Medrash, to go and give a shir, or to learn a shir, to learn the daf. The other one needed it in the evening for Bais Mishnah. Bais Mishnah means he had to go to a bar mitzvah, sheva brachas. And although it says arvis, presumably it means on that same day, on Shabbos or on Yom Tov, because once Shabbos or Yom Tov are over, you don't have a tchumen issue, and we're talking about a tchum. So now, the person who had to go to Bais Medrash, his Bais Medrash was betzof inside, Ze'irav Olav Letzof. The one that had to go to Bais Mishnah, Ze'irav Olav Ledarim. So each one of them did it, you know, they made their Erev for their purpose. And both of them want to go and borrow the same choluk from Yankel Smith. The tzofen person will use it in the morning, and the darim person will use it late afternoon. Says the Gemara, Zeshirav Olav Letzofen, Mahalach Letzofen, Keragli Misha'irav Olav Ledarim. Zeshirav Olav Ledarim, Mahalach Ledarim, Keragli Misha'irav Olav Letzofen. What does that mean? It's the same case like the brothers that we had in the Mishnah, that each one has the limitation of the other individual's tchum. Even though they divided up already before Shabbos, Yankel said to Beryl, I only need the cholik until 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and I want my tchum to apply until 3 o'clock in the afternoon. From 3 o'clock and on, then it's your cholik, and then your tchum should apply. Sorry, it doesn't work like that. You cannot divide up tchumin in the middle of Shabbos. This would apply to a private individual too, without this complicated case of the two borrowers. What happens to the stump? Yankel Smith owns his cholik, and he himself wants to be able to go, or forget about the cholik. He heard that the two rabbanim, he wants to go to one rav in the morning, and he makes an erev for the morning to tzof inside, and he wants to go to another rav to hear the drasha in the afternoon to the darim side. He cannot do that. You can only make one tchum, one eruve tchumin for a given Shabbos or a given Yom Tov. So here too, since both the individuals, Yankel and Beryl, both borrowed the same chaluk, each one is dependent on the other person's tchum. And therefore, says the Braisa, that the imitsu esatchum, harzeli zenvim koima. What happens if Yankel, who borrowed the chaluk for the morning, he made a full-fledged eruv towards the tzofen side, so he can go 4,000 amos towards tzofen and zero towards Durham. And Beryl, who borrowed the cholik for the afternoon, he made an eruv to the Durham side, so he can go 4,000 amos to Durham and nothing towards tzofen. So then the cholik is going to have to remain in the closet. You won't be able to move it at all. Or, of course, if you're talking about a city or a town situation, throughout the city or throughout the town, but you won't be able to move the kli or the choluk beyond the limitations of the town or the city, because you're stuck in the middle. It's a, what did we have back in the Sechtes Erevin? It's a Chamer Gamel situation, right? He's trying to schlep it in one direction, you schlep it in the other direction, and you're stuck there in the middle. Okay. Zogt Igmor. Right. Itmar. Shnaim were on the first wide line here in the Amud Beis. Itmar Shnaim Shalachu Chavius Ubehem B'Shutfis. What happens if two people bought, Chavius is a barrel or a behema, and they bought it and they're Shutfim. And they're Shutfim already for the last month, for the last year, and they both own a Chavius and a behema. Okay, so now what happens on Shabbos or Yom Tov? Let's talk about Yom Tov because we're talking about behema for Shechting purposes. So Chavius, they want to split up the wine in the Chavius this Yontif. Yankel is going to have 50% of the wine, and Beryl will have 50% of the wine. Or they want to take this behemoth, they want to go and shecht it in Yontif. Yankel will take 50%, and Beryl will take 50% of the meat of the animal. Says Rav, Chavius Muteris. By the Chavius, each one can go and schlep his 50% of the wine in accordance with his tchum. Yankel can take it litzofain, Beryl can take it lidarim. Behema, however, you can't do that. You have to go and reckon with both of their tchumim. Shmuel Amar, Chavius, Nam Yasura, both of them are also no difference between Chavius and Behema. So Frank Gemara, let me understand the svaras over here. Maikasava Rav. Ikasava Yesh Breira Afil Behema Tishri. Ikasava Ein Breira Afil Chavius Nam Yasura. After all, at the time of Ben Hashmashis, on the eve of Yontif, at that point the Chavius had not been subdivided, nor the animal had been geshachted. So therefore, if you hold Yesh Breira, and therefore you're saying, even though we didn't split up the wine yet, we only split up the wine on Yontif morning, after davening, for purposes of Kiddush, and then Yankel takes his 25 gallons, and Beryl takes his 25 gallons, they split it down the middle, on Friday night, or I should say the eve of Yontif, the previous night, there was no division whatsoever. It was just all mixed together in one barrel. But if you hold Yesh Breira, then Lamafreya, we say halachically, it's as if Yankel had 50% and Beryl had 50% and everything is fine. So if that works for the wine, so why doesn't it work for the behemoth also? Go and say that last night, it's as if we shechted it already, and we had already subdivided 50% of the animal to Yankel and 50% to Beryl. Because of Ein Breira, and that's why by the behemah he says you're stuck. Kiragle Shnehem, the Afilu Chavius Nam Yasur, and the Chavius should also be Yasur. Is Manishtana Chavius from Behem? So the Gemara, the Oilam Kasav Yesh Breira. Shani Behemah, the Kog Yanki Tchumen Mehadodi. There's a difference between behemah and between the wine. In the case of the wine, we could halachically, theoretically, split up the wine from the previous night, even though it wasn't it wasn't split up, but halakhically we can deem it as if it were split up based on the principle of prayer. But here you're talking about the behemah. The behemah is indivisible. Why is it indivisible? Because even if you were able to go and split it up based on the deeming it to be split, but until you factually split it, each one of the cells and molecules and the arteries and the sinews and the blood vessels, they're all mixed together. If you were to go and split it at that time, you know, the animal couldn't exist. They're all nourishing. The right side of the animal is nourishing from the left. The left is nourishing from the right. It's not like by the wine, that the wine, the right half of the barrel doesn't need the left half of the barrel, and vice versa. This animal, until it's kishachten, it's one indivisible entity. And therefore, since it's indivisible, we do not say brei. The Gemara uses an interesting expression, the yanki tchumen me'adodi. It's really that the animal is being yoinik me'adodi. The right foot is being yoinik from the left foot. The right part of the heart is being yoinik from the left part of the heart. That's what the Gemara really means. Well, he means Yanki Tchum Me'adadi, that since Yankel has his Tchum and Beryl has his Tchum, it's as if the Tchumen are indivisible and they're being yoinik from one another. It's Amli Rav Kahana Rav Asi L'Rav. Isa Mukta Loi Choshishu. The Isa Tchumen Choshishu. Don't you have a problem of Isa Mukta as well? What means an Isa Mukta? So Rashi says that both in the case of the Chovius and the case of the Behema, what happens if Yankel wants to take from Beryl's portion, or Beryl wants to take from Yankel's portion? Obviously, they could not take unless they get permission. So therefore, vis-a-vis Yankel, Beryl's portion is mukta, and vis-a-vis Beryl, Yankel's portion is mukta. And therefore, at the time of Ben Hashmashis, it's not only the Tchumen Yanki Me'adodi, but it's the Issa Mukta which is Yanki Me'adodi. Yankel's 50% of the wine is, if you will, yoinik from the 50%. Let's not talk about the wine, let's talk about the behemah. That the 50% of the behemah of Yankel's side is going and deriving nourishment from Beryl's side. So even putting aside the Isser of Tchumen, don't we have a problem of Mukta? Zog the Gemara. Shosik Rav. Rav did not have a teretz. Now, why didn't he have a teretz? So there are different ways of learning. Either Rav was stumped, or Rav felt that this is not even a kasha, I'm not going to even bother responding. But Lamaisa the Gemara doesn't respond. So my havi Allah. So what's the halacha? Legabi the chavis and legabi the behema. We have machlokes Rav and Shmuel. Says Gemara of Hoshia Hamar Yesh Breira. And Rashi says Yesh Breira means on both the chavis and the behema, and therefore both of them are mutter. And Rav Hoshia is not worried about the svara about Yanki Tchumen Mihadadi. Rav Yechon Hamar Ein Breira. Again, in both cases, both the chavis and the behema, that they're both Asur, unless they subdivided it already from Erev Yatav. Frank Gemara Vesav Reb Moshe Yesh Breira. Reb Moshe says Yesh Breira, but now we learned in the Mishnah. This Mishnah we quoted back on Daf Yud, so much so that Rashi says, look it up, Mefurish V'Perakama. We don't have to go through all the intricate details, we already discussed it at the beginning of the Masechta. So what was this Mishnah? This Mishnah is talking about Amnes Babayis. Rachman Litzlan, someone passed away. On any day of the week, lav davka Shabbos Yontif, a person passed away. And we have now a din of tumas oil. V'loi psachim harbe. And this house had many different doorways. In other words, this room had a number of doors. It's kulum tamei. If all of those doors are closed, then I don't know which doorway is going to be used for the mess to be removed from this house. So any kalim which are within the doorway of any of these doorways are all going to become tummy. Niftach echem bihen. However, if one of the doors is opened, and that's the one that they intend using for transferring the mess through that door, hu tummy, that doorway and its ear pocket and its hollow is tummy, and all the kelim are tummy. It's going to turn, but the other ones would be tohar, because I'm going to take the mess out of that first door and not through the other door. What happens if he didn't open the door? He just thought about taking the door, the mess through one of the doors, or through a window which is large enough to go and remove the mess. Then that machshava is going to help to be matzal all the other psachim. Actually, Yom is amazed. That mental determination of the machshava has to take place before the mess passed away, and not after his passing. Even after the mess passes away, you can also have that mental decision. Now, what did Beisil mean, af mishiyam es emes? This is a machloikis in the Gemara, whether he meant lamafreya or mikana laba. V'yed malo amrav oishia letayas epsocha mikana laba. He means to say from that point that he made that mental determination, that mental decision, from that point on, all the other psachim will become tohar, meaning that new kalim that come into the ear space of those psachim mikan al haba will be tohar. However, mikan al haba in the mafreiloi, any kalim that were there from before, of course, are tummy because the mess was in the house and therefore they get that tumma. Why didn't Rabbi Yishai say that you can go and work based on the svara of breira and therefore the mafreya? Once I make the decision that I'm going to take out the mess through the right door, then why aren't the kelim which are in the ear space of the left door, they should all be tohar limafreya, because I'm not taking the mess through the left door, I'm taking it through the right door. You remember back in the Yud, we explained that it's talking about that the hollow ear space of the doors was not directly under the roof or the ceiling, because anything under the roof or the ceiling, of course, is going to be coming tummy tumas mess. This din of psach means that it's protruding beyond the four corners, so to speak, of the building. Rather, there's an ear space of a door which is protruding outside. So, frankly, once I decide I'm taking it through the right door, then the ear space of the left door should be tahar. It's the charai that Rabbi Yishai holds that we do not say the mafrei, we don't say yesh breira. Pray tomorrow, I bazoi, but Rabbi Yishai just finished saying yesh breira. Eipach, let's switch it around. Rabbi Yishai Omar, aim breira. Rabbi Yechon only yesh breira. Aha. Pray tomorrow, be Israel, Rabbi Yechon breira, Rabbi Yechon a whole breira. Ay, vom Rabbi Yechon on. Vom Rabbi Asi, Rabbi Yechon on. Ha'achim shechol kol kucha, say masnir, that be yoivel. What happens if you have a person who passed away, and now you have Yorishim, and the Yorishim split up the estate 50-50, guess what happens? Yoivel year arrives 5 years, 50 years later, whenever it arrives, they have to do a brand new chalukah of the estate. Why do they have to do a brand new chalukah of the estate? Because you don't say to Mafreya, this is what the father intended when he passed away, to give Yankel the property on this place, and to give Beryl the property on that place. No. Nothing was divided. So you don't go as Isbar the Mafreya. It's all Mikana Labo, and you don't say Breira. And since you don't say Breira, you're going to have to go and divide it up again. And you just said now, according to Rabbi Yochanan, that Yesh Breira, if you hold Yesh Breira, you shouldn't have to go and do a new division in Yoifel. Maybe by Deraisa, by Yerusha, there he holds Taka, there is no Din of Breira. But by Derabanan, there is a Din of Breira. Since our Dinam of Tchumen, other than Rabbi Kiva, Tchumen is Midrabanan, so therefore he holds, Yesh Breira, that you could on the Chavius and on the Behemoth say, it's as if it was subdivided already. At Bein Hashmashes, the uncle gets 50%, Beryl gets 50%. Pray to Yomara, the Islay, does in fact Rabbi Yochanan hold that way? Legabi Hilchis Tchumen, the Yesh Breira? Vatoni Ayoy. Didn't Ayoy learn? Rabbi Huda Oymer, it says in the Braise, Eino de Masna al Shnei Dvarim Ki Achar. What is Rabbi Yehuda saying? Rabbi Yehuda saying is, if one Rav is coming, one Chacham, and he's coming the Mizrach, and I'm not sure whether the Rav is going to go to the Mizrach side or the Marav side, so Masna, a person could go and put two Eruvin down on Friday, or on Erev Yontif, he puts one to the Mizrach side, one to the Marav side, and he makes a Tanai, and he says, I don't know whether the Rav is going to be in the Mizrach town or in the Marav town. By tomorrow morning, I'm sure I'm going to hear, and therefore I will make a decision in the morning whether or not I'm going to Mizrach or Marav, and then Lemafreya, the Erev either to Mizrach or Marav will be triggered and will be able to go in that direction. However, Lekana, Lekana, and if there are two Chachomim, one is going to Mizrach, one is coming to Marav, and I need to make a decision which one I'm going to go to tomorrow morning, I'll make that decision tomorrow morning. No, no, that's no good. You cannot be masna on two chacham, only on one chacham, the mizrach and marav, but not the two chacham. And the Gemara asked on the Omer Aleph, Vavinan bo maishel v'kamel kandaloi, what's the reason why you can't make a determination whether you're going to go to mizrach or to marav on Shabbos or Yom Tov morning? De'im breira, because you cannot decide in the morning. After all, Tchumen is decided Benish Moshes the night before. So you can't decide it in the morning. So Mizrach Marav Nami Ein Breira. So when you only have one Chacham, the same Halacha should apply. Also Ein Breira. V'yom Rabbi Yochanan. Oh, Rabbi Yochanan. What did Rabbi Yochanan say? Ukvar B'Chacham. It's talking about that the Chacham already arrived on the scene from before Shabbos. I didn't know where the Chacham arrived because no one sent me a fax or a telex or a telegram or an email or a telephone call. I didn't know. However, they were already there. So Rashi explains, all I need on Yom Tov morning or Shabbos morning is a Gilui Milsa Ba'alma. I don't need to make a decision. I already made a decision from Erev Shabbos or Erev Yom Tov. If there's one Chacham, I'm going to his drasha. I don't care. It could rain, it can pour. I don't care what happens. Shemayim v'aretz, I'm going to that drasha. I just don't know whether the Chacham is to Mizrach or to Marav. So all I'm going to find out on Yom Tov morning is a Gilui Milsa, details that I didn't know. But the decision to go and make an Erev and to go in the direction of wherever that Rav was, that was already decided from yesterday. So I don't need to come on to Breda. Masha'enki, when I have the two Rabbanim, obviously I have not made a decision yet which Rav I'm going to go to. That's the reason why I made two separate Erev, and one to Mizrach and one to Mar. So if Yom Tov morning I'm going to say, you know what? I decide I'm going to go to Rabbi Smith instead of to Rabbi Jones. So the decision is being made on Yom Tov morning. You want that to go and be attributed back to Friday or to Erev Yom Tov, that you cannot do because Ein Breira. Oh, so I see that Rabbi Yochanan doesn't hold of Breira. And you're telling me now, according to this Teretz, that in the case of Tchumen, he does hold of Breira. So I have a Stira L'chayra Mineuve. Don't switch it around. Leave it the way it was originally. What did Rabbi Yochanan, what did Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yochanan say originally? Rabbi Yochanan said, Yesh Breira. Rabbi Yochanan said, Ein Breira. So you ask the Rabbi Yochanan, how could he say Yesh Breira? But in the case of the mess, by Beis Hillel, he said, Ein Breira. So the answer is because the case of the mess is Tumas Oyel, which is because of Diaraisa. That's the beginning of Parshas Chukas. Odom Kiyomas Ba'oyel. Kol Asher Ba'oyel, Kol Asher Ba'oyel, Kol Asher Ba'oyel. They're all going to be Tameh. That's a Diaraisa. By Diaraisa, says Rabbi Yishia. By Diaraisa, Ein Breira. Because this is a heavy duty stuff. Minatoyel. But if you're talking about an Issa Rabban of Tchumen, says Rabbi Yishia, I can be Mekel, and I hold Yesh Breira. So there's no steer Rabbi Yishia, and we don't have to switch them around. Rabbi Yishia is Machmir by Diraisa, Ein Breira, but he's Mekel by the Rabban and by Tchumen to hold Yesh Breira. Here's where we'll stop. Oh, and that's one more line. Darsh Mazutra Loch Rabbi Yishia, we talk a pasuk like Rabbi Yishia, that be Diraisa, Ein Breira, by Terabonon, Yesh Breira. Any questions? Yes, Barry, shoot.
Yeah,